Christian faith, when we think of Christian faith, or when a lot of people think of Christian faith, not us, I think most of us know this, but a lot of people think of Christian faith as these people have to keep a list of rules so that they will be acceptable to God. And we know that a right relationship with God is by grace, through faith. The holy conduct that flows from that grace shows if we have the genuine faith. So that's where that all comes in, and we have a different way of saying it. But Christian faith brings us freedom. It brings us freedom in many ways, and we're going to talk about one way today. But Christian faith brings us freedom. But sometimes there are encounters that we have with those who say, you must keep this list of rules in order to regulate the holiness in your life. They try to regulate holiness by making this list of rules. But some of these rules aren't even found in Scripture. Or they might be implied, but you have to have an interpretational understanding to apply it. And it just gets... You don't even want to talk with these people sometimes. It's just really hard. You get in an argument. You just have to say, well, God bless you, and I hope that you can come to see the Scripture a little bit differently. And they'll say, well, we play the same thing for you so you won't die and go to hell, you know, because you didn't keep our list of holiness rules. God's way to holiness is really described in these two verses. And I'm going to read them again. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Freedom is the Holy Spirit's guideline for our spiritual transformation. Now, humans, we humanly gravitate toward works for accomplishing this idea of holiness. We gravitate toward works. For everything worth anything, you must pay something. Now, you know, that's the common way, but God's way of saying what He believes or what He has told us is this: nothing we pay can earn grace. Nothing we pay can earn grace, but all can have it. Everyone can have it. It's limitless, but it's nothing we can do about it. So this attitude, you owe me one, the you owe me one idea, it reverses, it even cancels the idea of grace. Jesus questions this idea or this thinking that we have. I gave, and so I should get in return. I really gave, so I should get in return. So here's what Jesus says about that in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:46. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? Giving to gain. I'm giving so that I can gain. Giving to gain contains no grace. There's no grace there. A give and take focus. If we have this give and take focus in keeping God's law, we say, I'm going to do the Christian walk of life. I'm going to try to do the Christian thing as a give and take. And that what that ends up doing is saying, you owe me one, God. Look, I kept the rules, so I deserve a blessing. You know, you owe me one, God. I mean, what kind of attitude is that? You see, that's what the attitude of works does. But it makes perfect human sense. I mean, that's how we think sometimes. We say, well, first of all, we get the good works going, and that makes us sanctified or holy, and then we'll get salvation. And it's just the opposite. the goal of our goal of salvation is the beginning point of God. He takes our end point and he makes it his beginning point. And so we end up saying this way, salvation produces this thing called holiness or sanctification, and then the good works will follow us. The good works will follow what happens there. And so God makes this end point. This end point of salvation, it's his goal to make it all in freedom. That's his goal, but it's also his guideline to transform us. God chooses to transform or to change us, not by our good works, but by his grace, just like he saves us. He wants to change us. Undeserved grace comes straight from God's character. And that verse that I quoted from the Sermon on the Mount, the two verses that come before this, Matthew 5:44 and 45. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In other words, undeserved grace. That's his character. That's God's character. God is love. And his grace is not regulatory, it is relational. It's not a regulation, it's a relation, a relationship. God does have rules, but they're family rules. You know, if you're in the household, you do what the family rule, you keep the family rules. And these family rules are rooted in a relationship. In verse 17 of this passage, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What kind of freedom is this? It's family freedom. It's family freedom. You can be yourself with God because he really wants you to be your true self and not your false self. He wants you to be your true self. So when he freed Israel from Egypt, he gave them this command in Leviticus 11:45. Listen carefully to this because you'll see that it's a command that is also a promise, a relational promise. In other words, well, here's what it is. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, that's a command in a way. You shall be holy, for I'm holy. But it's also, you shall be holy. I'm going to make you holy because I am holy. It's like saying this. You're going to have a good time because if you're with me, because I'm going to have a good time. You know, it's like, oh, and that's what holiness is. Yes, it's because I'm with God, I'm going to find out that I can become holy. Wow. It's relational. It's a family affair. And so, by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to make up a term. I've never heard this thing. It's like God lovingly graces. Have you ever heard that one? Lovingly graces. I don't know. I just made it up. But I wanted to say, how does the Holy Spirit do this? By the Holy Spirit, God lovingly graces us with new birth. That starts everything off, right? Our salvation. With new birth, what? Into his family. That's our salvation. But then, he lovingly graces us into his holy lifestyle. And that's the family likeness. Yes, that's sanctification. That's our holiness. That's what this whole thing of spiritual transformation, of changing from the inside out. By grace, this divine family tie frees us from all the Old Testament ceremonial laws that you had to do in order to have a relationship with God. It was like you were showing your faith through these ceremonial laws. And so some of the Jews wanted to keep up these laws after Christ had fulfilled them. And Saul said, no, that's bondage. to go back to when Christ has filled you and set you free from those kinds of laws, like circumcision, and that was the case in point in Galatians when he was addressing the Judaizers who wanted everybody to be circumcised in order to be saved. Follow this rule and you'll be saved. Here's what Paul answered to that in Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So this family freedom liberates us from trying to establish our own glory. We do need glory, but we need His glory. If we glorify ourselves, we're going to a dead end. We need His glory because His glory is why we have this beautiful world around us, this fruitful, multiplying, full of life world, and we don't even know except by promise what the new heaven and the new earth is going to be like, but it's going to be so much bigger than this one and better than this one, and it's like God's glory is so bad. That's the glory that we need. What is our glory? We need His glory to become our glory. That will change us. That will totally change us. And so we need His glory, which the Holy Spirit lovingly graces into us through Christ. Through Christ. His guideline for this spiritual transformation is our freedom. Freedom from our religious effort, but not freedom from our relational effort. Remember, this is a family, and we've got to participate in the family rules. We've got to participate in the family freedom, and we've got to participate in this relational effort. So spiritual transformation requires spending time with Jesus. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And later on, several chapters later in John, he says, "When the Helper comes, whom I shall send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me." The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is going to testify of Jesus, who is the truth, and we will be set free. And the Holy Spirit, He testifies of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is showing us Jesus. And that's what this whole verse is about, really. If we get nakedly honest and open when the Holy Spirit brings us face to face with Jesus, we will be transformed. That's what verse 18 says. All of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. That is our destiny in Christ. And the only measure of our spiritual growth is the glory of the Lord in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit holds up Jesus to us. That's what the Holy Spirit, He testifies of Jesus. He holds up Jesus to us so we can let His glory penetrate those areas of our lives where it is lacking. That's why we come to Jesus and spend time in it, so that we can see where I lack this grace, where I lack this glory in my life, this transforming holiness. Religious rule keeping, it won't do it. It will not penetrate our lives with the glory of Christ. But a chosen family discipline, a chosen spiritual discipline of spending daily intimate time with Jesus opens us up to becoming, what this verse says, transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And all of this is free. It's free. We do have to get into His presence. And you say, well, that's not free then. No, listen, God's not going to inject us with glory. He wants us to come to Him. He says, come. He means that. Come unto me. And then what? Follow me. Come unto me and follow me. We can't follow Him by making a list of rules. We only can follow Him by coming to Him and having ourselves transformed. As a closing of this message, I'm going to take a song. I'm not going to sing it because I don't know if I know the real tune of it very well. I think I do, but I don't know it really well. But it's a song that was based on 2 Corinthians 3:18. And here's what it says. And you might know the tune, but from glory to glory, He's changing me, changing me, changing me. His likeness and image to perfect in me the love of God shown to the world. For He's changing me from earthly things to the heavenly. His likeness and image to perfect in me the love of God shown to the world. Let's pray. Lord, make this real in our lives. Help us to set aside time on a daily basis to come into Your presence and be transformed by the glory that comes from Jesus Christ as it transforms and penetrates our being so that we can walk as Christ walked. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.